Good to see you this evening. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm glad to be here, and I know a lot of you know me. You grew up with me, taught me in school, and I probably ran you off the road quite a few times, so I apologize for that, too. And, you know, but it's good to be here. I remember years ago, I was at Fruitland, getting ready to go, I guess, and I had the opportunity to preach several places, and this was one of the places that gave me opportunity to kind of preach and share God's word. I'll never forget. I preached Psalm 8 that Sunday morning here, and I remember I received a threat when I came in the door. They said, look, at 12 o'clock, some of those Roberts boys said, we're cutting you off, all right? I said, that's all right. I said, I'll get a little louder. I said, we're going to stay till we get done, amen? And I appreciate your spirit tonight. You know, we came to get in, not get out, amen? As Brother Homer Henson would say, if you know him, if you go to the ball game, you stay 2 hours. If you go to the movies, you stay 2 hours. If you go to church, you ought to stay 2 hours, amen? Amen. So what somebody asked me, so how long are you going to preach? I said, probably 2 hours, amen? No. Don't be nervous. It's all right. Brother Michael, thank you for the fellowship. Listen, thank you, church, for welcoming us tonight. You know, what a blessing it is that we can fellowship together. You know, I hear that same thing sometimes. Well, it's germ, cold, and flu season. I don't want to shake a lot of hands, but listen, you'll go to Walmart, the nastiest doors in the world, amen, and you'll touch those. You'll go to the gas station and take that nasty knob and stick it in your car and pump gas. Wipe your nose while you're there. Listen, we come to church. God's bigger than any germ. We ought to fellowship together. Amen. It's good to be together tonight. I'm glad to be here tonight. Glad to see mom and daddy. My father-in-law Larry's back there. Folks, listen, if you want to see an example of God's love, you look at my mom and daddy. You hear me? Listen, pardon was multiplied there to me, the song said a while ago at Calvary. Listen, pardon was multiplied there to me. Forgiveness was great at Calvary. The blood of Jesus washed a lot of sins away in my life, and still daily I sin. But I want to tell you tonight, if you know my mom and daddy, folks, listen, if there's ever a picture of forgiveness, ever a picture of grace, ever a picture of mercy, you just look at them. If you want to know what God's love looks like, look at them. Because I'm telling you, they forgave me of a lot. Some things some of you know about. Y'all are close to them. You know. Listen, you know, we all know. That's all right. Listen, small town, amen. Telephone, telegraph, telebaptist, amen. It will get out. But that's all right. Listen, I'm thankful for my mom and daddy. They are truly a blessing. And I appreciate the love that they've shown me. And I appreciate the love you've shown us. And through our lives, y'all have been good to us. I tell folks, you know, mom and dad ran the restaurant. Everything I got, y'all paid for, amen. You did. I've never bought anything. Y'all have paid for everything I've ever had. I've had 3 or 4 cars. Y'all paid for them. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Y'all ate a lot of burgers over there. Thank God for that. Amen. Well, tonight, I'm excited to be here. I want to share the word with you for a few moments. Again, thank you, Brother Michael. I appreciate the opportunity to come and to be a part of this great revival service. As I begin to pray and seek the Lord's will and ask Him what He would have me to preach, one passage kept coming to mind. One man kept coming to mind. So if you will tonight, find your place with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 9 and 10 and 11 together tonight. And so I want to read these verses tonight and think about this subject. There's a man here called Demas, and it's a picture or a biography, we would say, of a backslider. It's a testimony of a traitor tonight, and I want us to look at it and apply it to our life, see where we are tonight spiritually, walking with the Lord, serving Him, and we just pray the Holy Spirit of God tonight would speak to our hearts. Would you stand with me tonight for the reading of God's Word? 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 9. Be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to come to your house. Lord, we thank you tonight for each heart and each home in this place. Lord, you know our needs tonight. Lord, you know where we stand in our relationship with you, Lord. I pray tonight if there be one in this place, Lord, who does not know you, Lord, they have never received the free pardon from sin. I pray that tonight is the night they receive you as Lord and Savior of their life. I pray tonight the Holy Spirit would give them no rest and no peace until they turn their lives over to you. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, for repentance. We pray tonight for your church. We pray tonight for our own hearts, Lord. Search our hearts tonight. Show us those places in our lives tonight that, Lord, we need to give give to you, and we need to get right with you. And Lord, maybe there's someone in the church tonight, Lord, across an aisle. Lord, someone tonight, maybe another member, or Lord, it's a family member, or Lord, someone tonight needs to cross an aisle and make things right. Lord, we just pray tonight you'd help us to do that, that Lord, we might be healed, that Lord, you might do the healing in our lives tonight, that Lord, we might see our land healed and our sins forgiven. So Lord, we just pray tonight, you do only what you can do, and Lord, you just we give this to service to you tonight. Hide me behind the cross. Speak through me tonight. Lord, may I just be a vessel, a servant tonight that you use to bring glory to your honor and your name tonight. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Maybe in recent months, you know, we've seen on television the deaths of two rock and roll icons. And it's been a few months ago. In May of this year, we heard about Chris Cornell. He was the lead singer of the group Soundgarden and Audioslave. If you remember back in May around that time, he took his own life. Later in July, we heard about Chester Bennington. He was the front man for Linkin Park. He also sang with Stone Temple Pilots, and probably many of us in this place rocked out to some of that back in the day. We understand that. He also took his life. In light of their deaths, there was a reflection of another man who took his life probably 23 years ago or so, a man by the name of Kurt Cobain. And you remember, he frontlined the group Nirvana, and we've heard about him. Some of us know him. Many of us listened to those groups growing up. They were still really widely played. There was a note found at Kurt Cobain's death scene there, a suicide note that he left, and this is what it said. He said, "I haven't felt excitement for so many years. I feel guilty beyond words about these things. When we are backstage and the lights go out, the manic roar of the crowd begins, it doesn't affect me. The fact is, I can't fool you, any of you. It simply isn't fair to you or me. The worst crime I can think would be to trick people by faking it and pretending as if I were having 100% fun. I don't have passion anymore. So remember," he says, "it is better to burn out than to fade away." Now, I find no indication in the life of that man, Kurt Cobain, I find no indication of his salvation, that he ever trusted Christ. But I think as I read that suicide letter, I think I can see in that letter, in his life, coming from him, the life of so many people sitting on church pews. They feel passion no more. Listen, if the truth be told tonight, we're not excited about what God is doing and what God has done in our life. It's an epidemic, I think, in the church today. It's rampant all over. One of the biggest problems we have is backslidden Christianity. Those who were once on fire, those who once was walking with Jesus, trusting him, and now, listen, they've grown cold, they've grown distant, they've backed away and backed off of some things that really they need to get on fire with again. And maybe you're here tonight, and there was a time when your convictions were stronger, there was a time when your walk was straighter, and I just want to encourage you tonight, it can be that again if it's not that tonight. We see this man tonight named Demas. Some have said this is a testimony of a traitor. He has forsaken Paul. Some have called him an Alka-Seltzer Christian. Y'all remember Alka-Seltzer? Flop, flop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Amen. Some of you probably, I always thought my daddy drank so much of those, I thought they were Sprite tablets. So many times in our Christian life, hear me, church, we get saved. We get grace, we get forgiveness, we fizz up, we bubble up. I mean, we just run it over. And then as the walk goes on and as our Christianity makes its way and as we meet certain things in our life, we begin to fizzle out. And we begin to get weak and we begin to wane in our walk with him today. You know, there's nothing like going to the refrigerator and open the refrigerator up. And we have two boys at our house and they don't always listen to instructions. Put the cap back on there real well. Make sure it's sealed up because I want my Pepsi fizzing when I drink it. Amen? There's nothing worse than being thirsty, hot, been in the yard all day. You go out, you open the refrigerator up, take the Pepsi out, you crack it, you pour it in the cup, you turn it up, and it's sweet. No fizz whatsoever. It's terrible. They've dropped it, they've shaken it up, because I'll be dead back. I believe they do some things out of spite. I do, I really do. I can be tough on them sometimes. But folks, listen, there are a lot of Christian lives tonight that have fizzled out. They're flat. And we need to get revived. We need to get fired up again, serving the Lord in these days in which we're living. I've been pastoring Baptists for about 11 years, preaching to them in various other forms some more years before that. And folks, listen, I've seen a many be on fire, serving the Lord, and listen, fade and fizzle out. You don't want to do that. You want to be found serving Jesus when he comes. And I'm glad tonight we're meeting in revival. It's for God's people.
That's right.
It's for us, the church. It's for us tonight to search our hearts and say, God, what is it in my life tonight that I have allowed to wane or to falter or to lay by? Folks, listen, I know people, and you do too, that used to never miss a church service. Amen? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, missions night, fellowship times, ice cream fellowships. Never miss a meal. Never miss anything. Never miss service. And now in these days and times, listen, we can't hardly find them. The FBI couldn't find some of them. Amen? I mean, I'm telling you tonight, we're looking around. We see folks all around us today. So many times, if we're not careful, hear me tonight, if we're not careful, if we don't keep ourselves in the love of Jesus, and if we don't stay in love with the things of God, then any one of us tonight can eventually go from being red hot to just a smoldering ember. Say, Preacher Eric, it ain't going to happen. Don't say that, because it will. It will. It can. And we don't want it to tonight. You know, I thought about David with that sin in my life. He said, oh, let me hear joy and gladness again. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. You know, see, that's what happens in our life. Sin creeps in. It gets a stronghold. It gets a hold in our life. And our joy is stripped away. And when we don't have joy, we walk around with long faces and saddened hearts. And we can't do the will of God. And we can't do what he wants us to. Oh, listen. You look at this man named Demas and you see some things about his life. I think some warnings for us tonight. Maybe someone here tonight, the devil, listen, he's on you. He's working on you. He's leading you astray. He's, listen, showing you some things, doing some things. And just listen, you need to refocus and refire up tonight. Give it back to Jesus tonight. Folks, listen, we look at these men. You don't want to be a backslider, traitor, an Alka-Seltzer Christian. You want to finish well. I don't want to get there, listen, and look like so many folks that I know, folks, listen, sad, depressed, down and out. I don't want to get there. I want to finish well, serving him in the joy of the Lord. Amen. You know, sometimes we come to church and we look like an old mule staring at a new gate. Amen? Now, we ain't got to face it sometimes. Listen, church so long we can lick peas out of a 55-gallon drum. If you know Jesus tonight, you've got a lot to shout about and be thankful for. And it doesn't matter how bad it is tonight, I'm telling you, he's bigger than all of it. And you can trust him tonight and you can give your life to him, every aspect of it. This man tonight named Demas, his name means popular. And as you read the text tonight, it's obvious that one time he was popular. One time at the church, he would walk down the aisle and somebody would say, hey, Brother Demas, how are you? I'm good. Hey, Brother Demas, would you take the offering this morning? Hey, Brother Demas, would you serve here? And you see in his life, there's a time in his life his name was popular. Obviously, he done something right for the Lord. But there came a time when he became popular for something else. And it was forsaking the work and the will of God. And folks, tonight, we don't want to do that in our lives. We can't afford to do that in our lives. It brings too much heartache, too much trouble. And we don't want that. So Demas, this man tonight, let's look at his life. I think when you read the text tonight, you've kind of got to look back and kind of really see where he's at. Demas, this man, lived a devoted life. You see, because he says in verse 10, Demas has forsaken me. So if Demas has forsaken him, there had to be a time when Demas walked with him. There had to be a time when his life was devoted to the work of the gospel and the work of the kingdom and serving along the Apostle Paul there. If you remember, this man worked and served with Paul, and as they went on trips and as they moved throughout different places sharing the gospel, listen, Paul's standards were high. Paul didn't put up with any junk. If you were going to serve with him, you were going to be sold out. You were going to be faithful. You were going to live a life of righteousness if you worked and you served with the Apostle Paul. And folks, can I just say again tonight, God's called us to a high and a holy calling. Amen. He's called for our walk to be straight. Our lips and our words to be seasoned with grace. And I just tell you, sometimes we can do the most damage with this old tongue. We can hurt one another with it. And we can destroy and tear down with it. And God didn't call us to do that. He didn't call us to do that. That's why God put that wall of ivory right there and them two fleshly gates to keep that little old tongue locked up. We've got to be careful with our tongue. See, Paul was a man, if you joined his ranks, it was like joining the spiritual Marines. I mean, this was the elite bunch. He charged hell with a water pistol, we'd say, conquered ground that the devil had claimed. And I want to tell you again tonight, the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail. That's still true. Yeah.
He said it will not prevail against the church. Some of you, listen, we have gates up in our house. It's to keep the dog in, but it's to keep other people out. I don't want any crooks in my backyard. Amen. Amen. I don't want any strangers in my backyard. Listen, meddling around, looking around, looking for something to carry off.
That's right.
I'll put it for you. I think so. See, Satan has marked off tonight a fence line, if you will. He staked some territory, built some strongholds in your life, or he will, or he is going to. And I'm just telling you tonight, church, that Jesus said the gates of hell won't prevail. Listen, he might put that great gate up, but it's rusty and creaky. And in the power of the gospel, he can torn down. This church tonight, listen, these homes tonight, you can claim some ground in the power and authority of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That Satan has marked off.
Amen.
Some of you have children tonight. Listen, Satan has put a fence up around them and he thinks they're his. Can I tell you? There was a time in my life, listen, I was walking with the devil. I know there's a devil for two reasons. The Bible says so, and I've done business with it. Amen. Listen, he put it up, and I got to pray, and mom and dad, I had to pray in church. I had some people who believed.
Yes.
And God was bigger than Satan.
Amen.
God is more powerful than the old devil.
Amen.
I'm telling you, they got in prayer. When they got in prayer, God delivered me, saved me. I'm just telling you, like somebody in this church, you got a loved one, a husband, a spouse, a child, aunt, uncle, granddaddy, grandma, somebody tonight that's bound up, caught up. I'm just telling you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Oh, this man had a devoted life. You remember one time, Paul, he got in Peter's face, and listen, he got in his face. You remember one time there, it says that he and Barnabas had sharp contention. Paul didn't put up with any junk. This man traveled, worked with him, and we see that he didn't put up with it. This man had a devoted life at one time. You know, I thought about Mark. We read about him there in verse 11. He says, get Mark and bring him with you. You know, when you read about Mark there, the Bible says over in Acts 15 and verse 38 that Mark departed from them from Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. In verse 39, the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Paul took Silas, Barnabas took Mark. You see what happened? They started to the work. And Mark says, you know what? I got to go back. I just can't do it. It's not the right time. Whatever he said, whatever he did, he turned and went back. And the Bible said the contention was so sharp. Paul said, he ain't going with me anymore. And we're going to get to a good part before we close tonight. All I'm trying to say tonight is this man served. He was devoted. He was sold out at one time because we see he has forsaken. There was something going on in his life as we study this tonight. As you look on in verse 11 there, he says, for he is useful to me for ministry. You see, I'm thankful tonight for second chances. Amen. I'm thankful tonight. He said, look, he can go on with you. He ain't going with me. But he said, you know what? Later on in life, there's something changed. Something's different. He said, you tell Mark to come on. He's useful.
Amen.
He's profitable. And I want to tell you tonight, I'm glad our God is the God of second chances. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. You're going to mess up. But I'm just going to tell you tonight, God is the God of chances. Second, third, and fourth. Amen. He said, if you'll confess with your mouth, he's faithful to forgive you. Amen. Clean you up. I'm thankful tonight. You might be sitting here tonight, and the devil will tell you, you're no good. Oh, he'll make your sin big. He'll make it bigger than God's forgiveness, and it's not.
Amen.
So you might be sitting here tonight and say, Billy, you just don't know. I don't care. I'm just telling you, God's bigger than that.
Amen.
I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what sin you're dealing with. I don't know what that, listen, you've let God down. I don't know what it is, but you do. And God does. So why don't you just agree with him about it that it's wrong and move on?
That's right.
I'm thankful for God's forgiveness tonight.
He said, oh, Mark's useful. He's profitable to me, for ministry tonight. And I'm thankful for that. He said, we went to the work and he went missing. In Philemon chapter 1, in Philemon verse 23 and 24, he says this, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. He labels him there as a fellow laborer. The word comes from two Greek words. It means is sin, S-Y-N, or the word we would get sink from. Y'all have cell phones and tablets and computers. You sync those devices up. Y'all know it. All of them sync together. Your apps, your documents, all that's together. Well, the first word there is sync. It means to be together. Listen, he says, he's my fellow laborer. The second word means to work, toil, as an effort or an occupation. He said, we've been working, toiling, and as an occupation together, in sync, with one another. He's my fellow laborer. Let me apply that to us tonight, church. We're not here as an individual, as an island to ourselves. We're here together to work together, to serve together, to witness together, to be co-laborers, fellow laborers together in the work God has called us to be. Can I just be honest tonight? Too many churches fighting and fussing over stuff that don't matter. Listen, if we'd get more interested in those dying going to hell, we wouldn't worry so much about how much the light bill was, who spent $5 more in the budget. Amen? How somebody looked when they came. We wouldn't care.
That's right.
Because our focus would be on Jesus.
Amen.
And tonight, listen, this man lived a devoted life, and in our lives, we've got to be devoted to him. And we've got to stay devoted to him in our work, in our duty. They preached together. Paul often went to the synagogue. They would go to a new city. He'd go in. He'd preach the gospel. Now, this is just me thinking. Probably Demas went around passing out tracts, knocking on doors. Hey, we're having a meeting. Would you come? He probably got to preach a little bit. Listen, they were co-laborers together in their duty. I think probably in their doctrine, seeking the Lord, his counsel. God comfort them as they traveled together. You see, you had an appreciation for Demas when he spoke of him as a fellow laborer. This man at one time had a devoted life. God used Paul as much as any man who ever lived. Yet Paul, listen, didn't do the work without the help of others. He's my fellow laborer. Can I say this? I tell my people at Pine Grove a lot of times, Brother Joe, we've been backdoor neighbors. Amen. I mean, we've been right across the woods from each other. And I tell my people at Pine Grove, look, sometimes preaching is a lot like coaching. If the team's doing well, the coach gets a raise. If the church is doing well, the pastor gets a raise. But here, if the team ain't doing well, there's a group wants to fire the coach.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? Folks, listen. It ain't all about the pastor. Listen, he's the man that God's put there. And I'm telling you, God's given you gifts to serve.
Amen.
He's called you to serve alongside of us.
Right.
It's not just his responsibility to do it all.
Amen.
So many times I said, Brother Aiken, go see somebody. Yeah, but you go with him.
Amen.
God made them on your heart. Go see him. God put that opportunity for you.
Amen. Right.
Oh, I don't miss the opportunity.
That's right.
It's a blessing to go and share the good news with somebody and just tell them, hey, look, Jesus loves you. Brother Michael, you know, I tell my folks, I have people run into people from up this way. And I had one of my fellas the other week, he owns a gun shop there, Brother Steve Melton. He said, I run into somebody who knows you. And I said, oh. Makes me nervous. He said, I told him who my pastor was. He said, Eric Boone? He said, come on, the one I know. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, the one you know. Listen, I'm thankful God has delivered me.
Yes.
He's given me a story to tell, church.
Right.
And any opportunity you and I have to say, look, he loves you. Let me just tell you where I was.
Yes.
Let me tell you what he's done for me.
Right.
He'll do it for me, he'll do it for you.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's good. It's good that we can share together. A devoted life this man was. We see it. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is tonight. When God's people work together. Oh, it's a great effectiveness for the kingdom's work tonight. Often the Lord sent them out two by two. And tonight you and I have been called to be fellow laborers like Demas, like Paul. And all these men he called out together there tonight. To be in sync, to work together, to proclaim the gospel, to reach a lost world, to share each other's burdens, to encourage one another, to provoke each other unto good works. I like fellowship, Brother Michael. I need it. I don't leave church sometimes at 9:30, 10 o'clock. Then I call, you still at church? Yeah, I want to see somebody. Amen. I like fellowship. I like God's people. I love God's people. I love being together. This man had a devoted life. He had a decided loyalty. Look at the second thing. He has forsaken me, he said. Now, this is a choice. He decided. This is a decision on Demas's part. And Paul says, if I can just put in my words, he said, Demas has decided to leave me all alone. Demas has decided that there are some things more important than the work of God. See, it's a decision, it's a choice. You decided to be here tonight. Amen? Now, some of the kids might have got drugged here. Amen? I was on drugs when I was little. Anybody give testimony? Mom and Dad had drugged me to church and drugged me home and drugged me back and drugged me back again. Amen? Amen? Thank you, Mom and Daddy. Amen. Young people, don't get mad when they drag you to church. Just pout and go on. Amen. It'll be better. I promise. You'll decide to be here tomorrow night when Brother Joe preaches. You'll decide to be here Sunday morning. You'll decide to be here Sunday night or Wednesday night. You'll decide to be here for youth. You'll decide to be here for children's ministry. You'll decide to be here for outreach. You'll decide to be here for choir. You'll decide to be here for prayer time. You see, it's all about your decision. God will not force you to do anything, but he will give you an opportunity to do great things if you'll only allow him to. See, this man had a decided loyalty. I think today we're seeing in our age, and in this biblical truth, I think, his prophecy being fulfilled, that great falling away before Jesus comes. The Bible says many will fall away. Amen? Many will turn away. And we're looking around, we're seeing many come to faith, but we're also seeing many just fall away. Many turn aside. They decided that their loyalty belongs somewhere else other than to where it once was, trusting Jesus and following him. And so in our lives tonight, we decide whether we'll do those things God asked us to. This man decided that it just wasn't what he wanted to do anymore. Maybe some of you tonight, the devil's come along and he'll just say it ain't worth it. Don't let him lie to you. It's worth it.
Amen.
It's worth it. You hang in here. You serve him. You be faithful to him. Listen, you come to the house of God and you decide to be here and you make that decision, God will bless it. You decide to read your word, the word of God every day, he'll bless it. You decide to pray every day, he'll bless it. You'll decide to witness every day, he'll bless it. You decide to serve every day, he'll bless it. You decide, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to serve him. Don't be like Demas. He said Demas decided to leave it all behind, to forsake it, to turn aside. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14, we read, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. He no longer says, fellow laborer. Something happened. Something changed in his life. Something is different. He's not serving like he once was. And it wasn't something, I think, that happened overnight. I think it's always a process when people get away from God, get out of the house of God. Quit serving God. I don't think people get up in the morning and say, you know what? I ain't doing it anymore. I think gradually they walk in the house. They stand in the way of sinners. Then they just sit down and see what is going on. You see the progression? One day you're walking, and then somebody says something, you say, you know what? And you stand. And before long, you sit there and enjoy it. It's a progression. And in our lives tonight, it just happens. It progresses along. I think it did in his life tonight. Sometimes I think it comes from discouragement. We know tonight, church, the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
And he does that quite often. He can discourage you and distract you. Listen, he can defeat you. And you can have a decided loyalty that I believe I just don't want part of that. Listen, these preachers in here, y'all know, every Monday morning, listen, preachers quit every Monday morning. They ain't going to say it again, they didn't. Listen, you get up on Monday morning, you don't call hell by the air. You don't have a business. Can I be honest? I hate business meetings. I'm not a big person. I just don't. I think it's the time for the devil to rise up and all this things. I'll just be honest. Y'all forgive me. If y'all like it, y'all come do mine, please. I'm telling you, I don't like this. I think it's an opportunity to forsake again. I really do. I know you got to let folks know what's going on. I understand that tonight. But folks, listen. I think sometimes Satan uses a hurtful statement from a well-meaning church member. I've had some well-meaning people, Christian people in my life say things to me. They mean well by it, but it didn't work out that way.
Amen.
And Satan used that to destroy me for months sometimes. Listen, I'm telling you. To cripple me sometimes emotionally. Sometimes it's an attack from the devil in our homes. Can I tell you tonight? Satan is after your home. I don't care if you're here tonight and you've been married 75 years. Hallelujah. You deserve a round of applause if you have. Amen. If you have, stand up. Let's praise the Lord for that. But it doesn't matter how long you've been married. You say, Brother Eric, I got it. We got it. We've been doing it. Don't think that. Satan's still looking for an opportunity to tear it up.
That's right.
He'll tear it up. I just want to encourage families tonight. Listen, moms, dads, husbands, wives, children, guard your families. Spend time praying in the Word. Pray for your children. Church, pray for these young people. Oh, Lord, they need it. Many of us grew up in a rough time, and we were into things that we just ain't going to say. They're experiencing the things that I experienced as a 17, 18-year-old man, or a young man, in 6th, 7th, 8th grade. If not before, sometimes earlier than that.
That's right.
in your life, in your family. That word forsaken means abandoned, desertion. Listen, it means to desert, to just abandon everything. He laid it down. And when you read verse 9, you see the urgency. Verse 9 says, be diligent to come to me quickly. Can you hear the urgency of Paul's voice? He said, you know what? Demas has decided to abandon the work of God. I need you to come on. Please get down here. Listen, I need you to come help me. And I think about that today in relation to the church in which we're living. He says, come quickly. Folks, listen. The work of God was suffering. He said, I'm carrying him with me. We're going to serve. Demas left. I'm by myself. I need help. Come. Help me. The work is suffering. And I'm going to tell you tonight, as a Christian, if you're not serving the Lord at Sand Hill Baptist Church, the work of God is suffering. But if God needs you, God wants you to serve. Listen, sometimes Brother Michael's over here doing something, praying, and he's serving some way. And listen, he needs some men and women to come alongside of him. Amen. I'll amen myself if y'all don't, man. Listen, I'm telling you. Come quickly. Come quickly. We need help. Can you imagine tonight what the church would be like if everybody in the church would, listen, get on board and go to work? Amen. A lot of Christians AWOL tonight. Absent without leave. They need to get back. That same word forsaken is the same one when Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned away? Listen, God the Father turned his back on the Son because of sin. He can't look on sin. Your sin. My sin. But I'm thankful tonight, and I hope you are. He went to Calvary to take my sin, to pay a debt I couldn't pay. And I want you to know tonight, I don't care how dark the stain, how deep the sin. He forgives. He forgives. He forgives. Oh, this man had forsaken Paul there. Folks, we need laborers. Jesus said the harvest truly is great and the laborers are few. We need laborers in the field tonight. But you ask the Holy Spirit of God to send you, open doors for you. He goes on, he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Church, start praying. Brother Mike, y'all been praying. Start, keep praying if you are, that God will continually send out laborers into the field. You see, this man lived a devoted life at one time. We see he made it a decided loyalty. He decided he wasn't going to do it anymore. He forsook the work, the kingdom of God. Kind of really left God and Paul holding the bag, if you will. And sometimes we've had people come along the way and serve in a place and start out well and just get halfway through the church here and say, I'm not doing that. And they leave that classroom and listen, that classroom suffers. And that classroom gets discouraged because why don't they want to teach us? Why didn't they stay with us? It's a sad thing. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't shut up until you go. Keep serving the Lord. Keep serving the Lord. Maybe tonight you need to get on board serving the Lord. Serve the Lord. You need to decide tonight. If you haven't already. I thought about Joshua stood before 5 million of his countrymen. He said, choose this day who you'll serve. He said, but you know what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
You got to make the decision. You got to decide. You can't worry about what over here is doing.
That's right.
So you just say, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Thought about Daniel. They said, if you pray, we're going to kill you. He said, I'd rather die than not talk to Jesus. Amen. He started praying. I preached on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I always love that story. They said, listen here, either you bow or you're going to burn. They said, we ain't going to bow, we ain't going to bend, we ain't going to burn. Y'all know the song? Amen. He looked over and said, you know what? I see 4 men in there.
Amen.
We've heard tonight about the presence of God.
Yes.
We've sang about the presence of God. He'll never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
Where he leads you, listen, he'll protect you.
Thank you.
He'll go with you. Oh, listen, he's our shield and our fortress tonight. Amen. And he's a wall of fire about you. Amen. You'll keep the enemy at bay tonight. I'm just telling you, trust Jesus. Trust him. Give it to me. I'm telling you, bless me. That just glory, hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, he made a decision. Lastly, there's a distracting love. He said he's loved this present world. Folks, he's not talking about the world we see because God created everything and said it was what? Good. It's good. We know that he's not talking about the world as mankind because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But we know tonight he's referring to that system of the world, the way the world thinks, the way the world is, that world is pulling at you tonight. You say, Brother Eric, it's not. Well, you just hang on. It will. It does. Because, see, we're still in this body of flesh. Until we die and go home to be with Jesus or raptured up out of here, we're going to struggle with the flesh. I do every day. Listen, I'm just going to be honest. I do this a lot in my congregation. Y'all have road rage? Well, Joe, we were coming down here tonight. We come by the racetrack over there. And listen, it's 45 here, y'all. Now, y'all forgive me, all right? They were driving 25. I wanted to shake them in a Christian way, just like that. I still got a little CL in me, y'all. Amen. Go ahead. I do. I still want to lay hands on people sometimes. Around the neck. Get mad as fire. I do. I ain't lying to you. I'm just being honest with you. I do. You know what it is? It's the flesh. It's I'll pay you back for what you paid in me. You give me, I'm going to get you. You talk about me, I'll run you down too. A little sorry, no good. Amen? We do it. It's the flesh. It's the world. It's what pulls at us. Folks, listen. It's a job. It's money. Listen. For our young people, and listen, that lust of the flesh could be a relationship that they shouldn't even be in. Some drug, some alcohol, something to warp their mind, change their lives forever. I'm just telling you tonight, this man, he says he loved the world. Something got a hold and got in his heart tonight. Say, Brother Eric, well, what does it mean? What is it? John Wesley said the world is anything that cools your love for Jesus. Anything that cools your love for Jesus. That can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. What is it tonight in your life? What is it? You know, so many times we look at this whole idea of a backslidden Christian. We think, well, you know, they're caught up in adultery. Or they're going to the bars. They're gambling. They're in some illicit relationship, participating in some terrible sin. But you know, it's possible for you to not be involved in any of that, be sitting right on the pew you're sitting on tonight and be backslidden, be away from God. You could have sang tonight with this group with Kings for Kings Cause tonight. You could have sang along with them. Listen, your heart still be as far away from God. It doesn't always have to be bad things. It can just be whatever cools. You know, I think of television. I love television. I'm not telling you to go home and throw yours in the yard, okay? It's not. But I'm telling you, that television will rob your time. It'll rob it. Some days I'll come in and they'll tell you, she said, y'all got to have that. Can I say it the way she said, y'all got to have that stupid television on all the time? Thankful for honest life. But I come in, the first thing I do, I don't want to think about nothing, I don't want to do anything, I want to just press that button and sit there and mindless bliss. Watch that. But you know, I get up in the morning somewhere, I'm just going to check the weather, turn it on, and that thing consumes my time if I'm not careful. And I miss that opportunity with God. And it can be the same for you tonight. I don't know, you just put whatever you're at, wherever you're at in there, and I promise you it'll fit, it'll work, it's right there. Folks, listen tonight. Demas loved the present world. He loved the Lord at one time. He says in the verses tonight, he departed for Thessalonica. We don't hear anything else. We don't know what happened there. Don't know if he repented and was restored. It doesn't say. But we know tonight that as we read this story, as the way the text leaves it, he brought shame to him, his name, and the Lord's name. Because he forsook the work and he forsook the will of God tonight. And folks, listen. What he really said there is it doesn't pay to serve Jesus. He's not worth my all. He shunned his fellow laborers. He said, I don't care. I ain't worried about y'all and where y'all at either. I'm just going on. Can I just say tonight in our lives, let me just say again, it pays to serve Jesus. It also costs to serve Jesus. It's going to cost you some relationships. It's going to cost you some friendships. It's going to cost you some time. Some talents. Listen, it's going to cost some things. It's going to cost some things. 2 John verse 8 says, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. See, when you forsake your calling tonight, you forfeit your crown. What I mean by that is your reward, your full reward. Just think about, you get to heaven, and the Lord says, you could have had all these blessings, all these crowns, but you just simply didn't do what I asked you to. God has so many blessings for you tonight, church, individually and as a whole. He's got work for you to do. He wants to bless you. He has a full reward that he's going to give you if you'll just trust him tonight. Many of you tonight, you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Many of you tonight, you're seeking the Lord and you're trying to stay close to him. You're longing and looking and living for Christ. You are. But the truth is, some of us in this place tonight aren't. Somebody here tonight needs to recommit, rededicate, return to the Lord, repent of the sin tonight. Come home to Jesus. Trust him tonight. The tragedy tonight is if we don't keep our guard up and stay close to Jesus and love the things of God, we can be right where Demas was. And all these pastors tonight, many of you church members tonight, listen, you know people who fall into this category. And it's sad. But thank God. Thank God. He said, get Mark, bring him. He's useful to ministry. Thank God for second chances. Amen. Thank God for second chances. There was a man I read about a while ago named Robert Robertson, and y'all know who he is in a minute. He was born in England almost 300 years ago, and at the early age, he came under the influence of George Whitefield, and he gave his heart to the Lord. Sometime later, he felt a call to ministry, and he surrendered the call and surrendered to preach. By 25, this man was pastoring a great Baptist church in Cambridge, and he was very successful. The church grew. People were saved. He became very well known, very popular as a preacher in that time, but it became too much for him. He couldn't handle it. He suffered a lapse in his walk with the Lord. He fell into sin. In years past, he kind of faded from the scene, and few even remembered who he was. Years later, he was taken a trip by a stagecoach back in that day, and he sat down next to a woman who was reading a book. And she was only interested in one page. And she would flip the page, and she'd read, but she'd turn back. And then she'd flip the page again, and she'd try to move on, and she just couldn't. And she said, sir, could you tell me what these words mean? Could you just share with me what they mean to you? And Robinson looked at the page, and when he looked, these are the words he read. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Overcome with emotion, he tried to divert her attention to the scenery as they passed by on the stagecoach there, but she just kept asking, what do you think? What do you think? Finally, he burst into tears. He said, madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago, and I'd give 1,000 worlds to feel now what I felt then. He was many years older, removed from his days of his commitment to Christ. But you know what's ironic about that song? And if you know it, and I love that song, that last verse, he said, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. See, tonight, you may be saved, but you're still in a body of flesh, and you're still prone to wonder. You're still prone to leave the God I love, because the flesh and the world and the affections and the attractions of it constantly pull at us. Why? Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his main business tonight. Folks, listen, tonight, may we take Demas as a warning. A word of witness tonight, that we might guard our lives and not falter, not fall short, not fall back, not let up, not shut up until we go up. I heard a preacher, Brother Todd Horton, shared this when he preached for us one night, and I'm just going to share it because it's good. I don't know if it has anything to do with the message, but it's good. This is what he said. It'll encourage you. He said, the lazy need to get up. The dead need to wake up. The gossips need to shut up. The dishonest need to fess up. The unforgiving need to make up. The lukewarm need to fire up. The non-tithers need to pay up. Amen? Good. Folks, listen, tonight, I don't know where you're at and you walk. I really don't. But God does. I don't know what's pulling at your heart tonight. But you do, and God does. And the only way you're going to get the victory over it is to take it to Jesus. He's met with us tonight. He's here tonight. Oh, that we wouldn't let him pass by this place in vain. Oh, that we wouldn't miss his presence tonight. Oh, listen. you do business with God tonight? What is it? Are you saved? Do you know that you know that you know that you know? Do you know? Say, Brother Eric, I don't know. Well, then you're probably not. Amen? I believe if you know, you know. I believe the Bible says we can have the assurance of our salvation. Amen? I share this story probably every revival. I know Brother Todd's probably heard it, but you know, I was out running the streets doing what I wanted to do. I come home every night, sometimes, listen, under the influence of alcohol or drugs or whatever. Listen, those years between 17 and 20 were pretty rough. And I'm just sharing this tonight because somebody may be here, you need to hear it. Listen, I'd come home every night. I was raised in church. Mom and Dad had drugged me to church, drugged me home, poured into my life, spoke conviction to my heart. Son, you're not right. You need to give it up. You need to get right. Come home every night under conviction. Walk down the hallway of my mom and dad's house. My bedroom was the last one on this side. Theirs were at the end of the room there. There's a light on the hallway there. And every time, listen, every night I came home, I would take my hand and I'd ease the door open. And I was just tall enough to reach the light and I'd flip it on just like that. Make sure they were still in the bed. That Jesus hadn't come. All the while, Satan said, you know, you walked an aisle and you shook a hand and you prayed a prayer. All the while, the Holy Spirit, yeah, but you live like the devil. And your life hadn't matched your words. Listen, you need to get right. You need to be saved. Folks, I want to tell you, October 23rd, 1995, about 10:30 in the morning, John Green's backyard, I gave my life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's the greatest decision I've ever made.
Yes.
Hasn't been easy all the time, but God did promise that. He said, I'll be with you. I'll see you through. He said, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, listen, even death can't have a hold on you. Amen. You're going through it. Glory to God. So tonight, I don't know where you're at. But if there's any doubt, don't wait. I believe our salvation is nearer than it's ever been. He's fixing to call us out, church. I really believe the time's short. I don't want you to be left behind. I want you to go home to be with Jesus. So tonight, if you don't know him, give your life to him. If you do, everything's all right, just praise
him. Amen.
If you're here tonight and say, Brother Eric, I'm saved. I just, listen, God spoke to me about this. But my, listen, this altar's open. I'm assuming the altar's always open. Tell my folks at Pine Grove, if you get up, come on if you need to. I'll step around. Amen. The altar's open. Come pray tonight. Somebody you know that's lost, hanging, listen, on the edge of eternity, come pray for them. Serious day we do. Amen?
Amen.
You know your heart. You know you need tonight. Would you do what God says do tonight? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, thank you. Your word is truth. Thank you. Your word never fails. Thank you. Your word accomplishes what you would have it to accomplish. And so, Lord, we know tonight as your word goes out and it goes forth, I pray the Spirit of God tonight take your word. Lord, just pour it into that heart tonight. Prick that heart tonight. Draw that one to you tonight, Lord, who needs you, who needs to be saved, who needs to come home. And, Lord, get out of that pig pen and run to the Father's house. Father, we just pray tonight for everybody, for the marriages and the homes in this place, for the children, for the youth. Lord, we just pray for everything tonight. Speak to us now, God. Do a work that only you can do. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for all you do in this time. This is your invitation, your time. Have your will and way. In Jesus' name, amen.